Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, this is Monkey Boy. The following is a special bonus episode of the Ferals Podcast, where we review Peter Jackson's 1989 puppet satire film, Meet the Feebles. The recording took place at Mike's place before and straight after watching Meet the Feebles, so please forgive the following. Background noise, tapping on the microphone, mobile interference, incoherent commentary, and poor microphone technique. Next week, we'll be broadcasting a Season 1 highlights show, and then return the following week to the start of Season 2 of The Ferals, with a very special guest. Please stay tuned for that one. Due to the nature of this film, the following episode contains adult themes, so I'd advise not listening to it with children. With that out of the way, please enjoy our take on Meet the Feebles.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Ferals Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by
Swinny
and Mike.
This is a very special edition. We're all actually in the same room together. This is the first time we've done this, and we're reviewing.
I'm rubbing his leg.
Something different. He literally is.
Literally rubbing his leg.
Sorry, Jess.
So we plan to watch The Feebles. Meet the Feebles. Peter Jackson movie.
I know nothing about this. I don't even know who Peter Jackson is.
He's the guy that makes, you know,
he knows.
Cigarettes.
He knows who it is. He's being an idiot. I can tell when you're being an idiot now because I can see.
I was about to say this guy makes cigarettes. He just cut me off. So now it looks like I was about to give an actual proper reply. I'm lost. I'm out of here.
So the context here is that Swinny has seen this movie 21 years ago.
I saw this movie when I was 10 years old. So I'm going to talk about that after I've rewatched it.
Yeah. And I have vague recollections of it. May have watched it, may not have. I'm not 100% sure. And Mike hasn't watched it at all.
Nope.
So what are your thoughts coming into this movie?
Nothing about it.
Do you know anything about it?
I'm scared. I'm a little scared. I'm scared. I mean, did you guys really need to strap me with handcuffs to this table? Is it necessary? Is it that bad?
What we're going to watch next is probably going to be pretty appropriate, actually. It's pretty similar to the theme of the movie.
Okay. In one sentence,
yeah.
Describe this movie that you know nothing about. I just want to see what you know about this movie.
Nothing. Zero.
Would like
zilch.
You know it's by
nada.
You know it's made by Peter Jackson.
Okay, so it probably has midgets with hairy feet and dragons and shit.
Not at all.
You know there aren't really. Sorry, there's Trey for the rings. I'm an idiot. No. I'm here again.
Do you think it's going to be?
Are there like rings and stuff? I don't know. I know nothing about it.
I can't actually deny that it could be.
We have to wait and see.
Yeah. Meet the Feebles. Sounds like a mockumentary.
Kind of close, actually.
Sounds like it's a Ben Stiller sequel.
Exactly. You know, whenever I search Meet the Feebles, it always came up with Meet the Fuckers. That's so annoying.
Fuckers.
Fuckers, that's what I said.
Yes,
anyway,
sure did.
So we'll come back.
That's recorded now. I can disprove that.
It's true. We'll come back after this break, and we'll have watched the movie, and we're going to review it.
I may be a little drunk by then.
Yeah, maybe.
On one cup of beer.
take us
about
to the,
one quarter of a cup of beer.
Take us to the intermission, Mike.
I'm a light drinker.
Intermission music.
Meet the Feebles! Meet the Feebles! We're not your average, ordinary people. Meet the Feebles! Meet the Feebles!
And we're back from from watching the Meet the Feebles. I almost said the Ferals.
Oh, God, I'm so disturbed.
I kind of wish we just did watch the Ferals after watching.
Kind of wish I never saw this.
That was a very bizarre movie.
Okay, all right. So, Mike, before we took the break, we asked what your expectations for this movie were. And it was, it's by Peter Jackson. That's it. That's it.
Well, no, I thought, you know, Hobbits, that kind of stuff. But I did not expect this. It was disturbing. It really was.
And you mentioned something about a cliff ring.
There was a lot. I was surprisingly definitely not far off. It gets way worse than that. Way worse than that. Okay. Here's what I had in mind. Here's what I took down in my notes, okay? It's the only piece of cinema or book or any form of art that I've ever come across.
Let me just say, I hope that those page turns made it on the recording.
It's true. There's lots of notes.
I ran out of words to put on paper. Okay, it had suicide. It had drugs. Yep. It had necrophilia. It had rape. It had murder. It had torture. Yeah. Adultery. It had BDSM. It had, well, violence. Tons of
it.
Did
you say bestiality?
It had that too. Oh,
I think by default. Yeah,
I reckon the writer. So I was asking you guys who wrote this, and it was obviously Peter Jackson, and apparently his wife. I reckon they had too much to drink or too many drugs. I don't know. Yeah, they were probably into that shit back in the 80s. Took out a piece of paper and went, "What are like the most disturbing things we could possibly include? Let's write them down. Let's put them in this thing."
Pretty much. It's bad.
It's really bad.
I think that's
in saying that it was excellent.
Really? Excellent.
Yes. Yeah, no, like IMDb gave it like a 6.7. I'd give it a 10 out of 10. It was just really good. It was unique. It was different.
10?
I just like how you described IMDb gave it. It's like, I don't really think IMDb is an entity that gives ratings, but I understand what you're saying.
I like how you said it's unique.
Mm.
It is unique.
It's very unique.
No, it really is. I don't think there's anything like it.
I can't think of a movie that matches the vulgar content in puppet form.
How about there's a movie that's like a crazy version of the Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yeah, the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, the Garbage Pail
Kids. I mentioned that in the previous episode.
Oh, okay. But that's like on the same sort of order.
I think that's the movie that I saw, by the way. But it's still... actually somewhat acceptable for young adults and like maybe older kids. Garbage Pail Kids. This is... I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
I seriously don't think this would make it to market today. I don't think you could get it in the cinemas. No.
I don't think you could get it in the cinemas. Even with R rating.
It'd be beyond an R rating.
Yeah.
Given the themes, I mean, okay, it doesn't have people, it's got puppets into it.
You could see the injection.
I don't want to completely skip ahead.
Let's wind it back. So,
God,
basically,
too much stuff.
The premise of the movie is that we've got a setup that's similar to the Muppets, where there's a TV variety hour and Meet the Feebles variety hour.
Yes.
And, you know, the show opens with them auditioning, and it's set around them auditioning for that night.
And rehearsing for that night.
And then we have a whole raft of different subplots.
Many subplots.
Mayhem.
I'll just say, although there were a couple of central characters, there was so many characters in this movie that they almost forgot to mention their names at times.
I think sometimes they didn't. I don't remember them ever saying the name of the fox, who is a critical character, until the end, where they actually said his name.
Yeah.
Where they had the title.
Well, in the end credits, they had what he did.
Yeah.
Because he happened to survive, but we'll get into that in a sec.
That's kind of the setup of it. So we're just looking at Wikipedia and, you know, running through the different subplots. So the first is the love triangle. So that's with Heidi, who is the central star of the show.
Who's a hippo.
A hippo. Yeah, and that's the other thing, right? Like, so it's like the Muppets. You've got these huge puppets.
She's basically the equivalent of Miss Piggy, right?
At first, I thought, yeah.
I'd say she is, in a totally different way later on, but it's sort of the equivalent character.
But Miss Piggy, you don't really feel sorry for Miss Piggy.
Yeah, Miss Piggy's super confident.
Whereas this character is a sympathetic character for the vast majority of the movie, but you kind of lose that
almost to the end.
You definitely lose it at the end when she loses it at the end.
So... Sorry. Bit of distraction there. So basically, the love triangle, as Monkey Ball was saying, Heidi, the pretty much the owner of the company, Bletch, who's a giant walrus.
Yep.
And Samantha, who is his, I guess, his new flame.
So to set it up, Bletch and Heidi, he met her at a bar, and there's a little segue back to when that happened, and they hit it up, and he became a manager, and, you know, they made out straight away. So they were together.
And also, but obviously, scene,
she's getting old.
In that scene, they set up the fact that, oh, she's turning 18 in 2 years.
Yes.
He's like, oh, that's great. Yeah,
exactly. Because, you know,
pedophilia.
The list I gave you guys wasn't enough. I think pedophilia can also be added to that list.
Although, I don't know if it is technically. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't mention Samantha, the new flame of the of Bletch, the walrus character, is a cat.
Yeah.
By the way, so we've got a hippo, a walrus, and a cat. Now, a hippo and a walrus, I can kind of understand because they're both large animals.
Yeah,
a cat is not large.
And in that, the movie opens up. You know, they're performing the opening act, and the next scene you see is with this walrus, Mr. Bletch, on top of this tiny little cat and he's banging her.
Yes. Now, by the way, if you've ever been curious what it looks like when a walrus is having sex with a cat, you should watch this.
Yeah, and then Heidi's about to bust in, and he's like, oh, I'm just about to pop my cookies. That's one of my favorite lines.
Oreos.
There was just, right from the get-go, there was this just foreboding sense.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the second scene that you're like, okay, they jump from an opening of Meet the Feebles, Meet the Feebles to walrus banging.
It's a great segue.
That's it. If you had no idea what you're about to watch, I think that just
sets a scene for the rest of the show pretty well.
And so what are the other parts of the love triangle? So we see the bit where she's trying to lose some weight, running around, and the cat, Samantha's, like, having a go at her. But that whole bit, to me, is a bit boring. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, well, look, basically Heidi, she's, you know, she's a hippo, so she's eating a lot as, you know, like hungry hippos, you know.
But it's also comfort food, right? Because she's depressed because of this effect. Yeah,
so she's depressed that Bletch has a new flame, so she's eating a lot. And when we say a lot,
we mean an entire store full of cake.
No, at first you see her pick up, like, cake in her hand and shove it in her mouth. And then she just goes to, as Mike is saying,
a cake shop.
To a cake shop. And
no, I just want one small chocolate.
So she just grabs a tiny little chocolate, like one of those rumbles, and then two, and three, and four, and then gets all the cakes. And then she's like nearly dead on the floor. She goes, "Do you have anything I could take away?"
Just one cake left.
Just one cake, the Black Forest.
So basically,
which is, by the way, the best cake ever. But anyway,
Black Forest says you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You want to fight about it, bro?
What's the thoughts on? So basically, she's eating a lot, so it's obviously she's putting on weight. It's affecting performance. There's a rehearsal that goes wrong because she, like, snaps the thing that she's swinging on. So she's just losing it. She's just going downhill. And that kind of subplot, I guess, stretches across the whole movie, is that she's just...
She's had rock bottom.
She has.
But did she actually get fatter? I didn't notice her get fatter.
No,
I mean, her titties looked about the same size.
It's all intraday, right? It's all intraday. I actually wrote this line.
That's something we haven't had to say in a Ferrell's episode.
I always have to say that because, you know, it's so dramatic. Like, they're making a point of the fact how big her bosoms are.
Definitely making a point.
But it's also the fact that she has nipples underneath there that are, like, showing through.
Which makes more
sense later.
It does, because you get to see them later on. I mean, this entire show, you're sitting there going, God, I just want to see those titties. No, and then right at the end,
I did not think for one second I wanted to see it.
Oh, yeah, neither did I, totally. As if I would.
Moving on.
But I think this is the main plot of the story, though.
Hmm.
Like, her story. Yeah. I actually thought when they were, you know, the movie was rolling, because there's this other character that we're going to talk about in a minute, Wobbit. Because he just rolls every hard. I thought that was going to be the main part or plot
same,
of the movie.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, because
he's
didn't go anywhere.
As sort of like a character that you think is a primary character, because he comes at the start of the show.
Yeah. It's a classic character that comes in, oh, I don't know anything, teach me. So they have an opportunity to run through the characters.
So, as you're saying, the love triangle is kind of the main storyline. Yeah. So I would say if you've got two central characters, you've got Heidi the hippo, and you've got Wobbit the...
What was he? He's a hedgehog.
Hedgehog.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Let's talk about
he's a hedgehog. Brown Furby the whole time.
Or a brown Furby.
He doesn't look like Furby. So in the face, the eyes. The eyes are so big.
Yeah, he's got these like, expression like...
He's a very eloquent hedgehog. But a bit of a pansy. Because, I mean, I assume all hedgehogs are kind of pansies. I used to have a hedgehog when I was a kid as a pet.
You used to have a hedgehog?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. It literally, like, just walked up to us one night.
Could you catch it? Was it really fast?
Yeah, you could. It wasn't that fast. It wasn't, like, really fast. Like Sonic. And then I kept it as a pet for a while. It was really cool.
So, could you, like, pick it up by the spikes?
No. The problem is, like, any hedgehog that's in the wild straight away just goes into a little hedgehog ball.
Did you just actually go into the forest and steal a hedgehog?
No, it walked up to us. Well, no, we just found it in the backyard.
Like bipedal, walked up to you?
Yeah, just like, yo, what's up? Like, hey, little bro. What you doing here?
My name's
Wobbit. Got some weed.
My name's Wobbit.
So, I mean, so, I didn't write many notes about Robert.
Okay, well, basically, he's like a newbie character. He shows up, he's asked to, I guess he's been accepted for an audition.
Hmm.
So shows up at the theatre, you know, no one's pointing him in the right way. And then,
they're all rude.
Yeah, then you have this worm character named Arthur, who's like this, I guess, like
the grandpa.
The old timer who like helps people and probably
nice guy.
The only nice character in the whole
thing. The kind of guy that would retire to the country.
Yeah.
The kind of guy who did retire to the country.
But he's a worm. Literally.
So kill him.
Kill him. Just chop one head off, it'll grow back. So basically,
pretty sure it doesn't.
So basically, Arthur helps Wobbit out because my notes are all about Wobbit, not Robert. And so he introduces him to like you know cast in the dressing room, and it just happens to be it's like the ladies' dressing room.
Yeah, that's
so he's
right.
Just like, here you go, welcome to a new person. And he falls in like love with. I'm thinking it's a dog. Isn't it?
It's a dog.
Yeah, it's a dog.
What kind of dog is it? It's like a
it's a poodle or something.
Yeah, like a poodle. Yeah. I think it's a poodle.
It's it's a poodle.
Like a white poodle.
Because it's a very prissy kind of dog.
It looks very weird.
Yeah.
The dog looks weird though.
Yeah. She and her name's Lucy or Lucille. I think. Well, Lucille.
Lucille.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Lucille.
His reaction when he sees her is like. Oh, like this love at first sight. He did have an O face. And her.
It was love at first sight.
And you know how they say that people, you know, bat their eyelashes? Hers were like shutters or like bat. You can hear them. They actually had sound effects.
Giant whips.
So.
I would try.
Basically, the overarching storyline for Wobbit throughout this story is that he's obviously. He's fallen in love with Lucille. And I was expecting this to kind of, I guess, take the whole movie to come together. And she's like, oh, she finally likes him or he finally tells her. But pretty much from the get-go, they pretty much get together.
They like each other from
really
the start.
Early.
Because he does the whole little Mexican, on the advice of Arthur. It's Spanish, sorry, not the Mexican. He does the whole Spanish guitar little get-up, remember? So, you're right. He did. Just kind of like, they got together pretty much straight away after the Spanish guitar bit.
The flamenco.
Well, like, what happened? He went into her room, right?
Well, he's...
Yeah, or did he leave?
No, he did. Because, no, well, he dropped his guitar.
Yeah.
And then the worm...
Oh, no, he didn't.
Encouraged him to... No, he did. Because then the worm encouraged him to keep going, singing. Yeah. And then he started, like, singing this amazing opera.
That's cool.
And then... He did go into her room.
Did he go
and
into her room?
And they fell in love. Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. We haven't actually introduced Trevor, the rat character, yet, because he's actually integral to this.
But what is he?
He's
like,
a rat.
Okay, so the other thing of this show is that, you know, there's characters that are involved in drug dealing, which is crazy. But he's like one of the drug runners, but...
I think he's...
He's like the henchman, kind of.
But what's his role
really?
In the show,
he
though?
Doesn't... He's like the...
Like a producer or something?
No...
Would you call him a producer?
Maybe an assistant producer, executive producer.
Yeah, I think that's like what it is. Yeah.
It kind of just
pulls the strings and gets shit done.
And he watches the show while rubbing his crotch, which is...
That's a good one. That's a good one. That'd be when he's doing that.
That was weird. Because
it was about Lucille. He was looking at Lucille. I wrote that down.
Because he was trying to find a new porn star for his... we'll get to that. Right. As well.
He goes, I want to poke her with my pork sword.
All right. Okay. So this storyline, I guess we need to mention this pornographic film part for this storyline to make sense. There's a scene where Wobbit, I guess, finds his way into some like back room sewer.
That's right.
By mistake. Yeah.
And also just before this, there was already a sex scene before this. So there was this full on sex scene with the rabbits that we'll come back to.
Well,
The rabbit sex scene happened and then he walked into that and he was walking in and it was this character that was like, take this, you bitch. But he said it in the most polite, embarrassed way. Take this, you bitch. And he's like, stop that, sir. And he ruined the take. He ruined the take. It was like the cockroach. That's right.
It was a cockroach whose name was... What was the name of the cockroach? It was...
Okay, you go. The cockroach whose name
He had a name. God, I forgot. It was like...
Cockroach doesn't have a name.
No, he did. It was the masked masochist.
No, I think he had a porn name, but
the masked masochist. Okay, that was his porn name. And he was doing the cow.
What was he doing?
Daisy.
Okay, let me
what
put
was he
this
doing
in
to the cow.
He was whipping the cow.
Well, that's where it started.
All right, let me put this in perspective. We have a rat filming a porn scene with a cow in bondage.
Yeah.
Yep.
With the others out.
Who's performing it with a cockroach. A giant cockroach. Exactly. Pretty big cockroach.
This is interracial freaking...
Interspecies.
She had nipple piercings on her udders.
She did. Well, udder piercings.
Udder piercings.
All right. So basically, Wobbit walks in, interrupts it. The rat goes something like, "Ah, you screwed up my take. I never need more than one take.
That's right. I never do two takes.
He's
a porn.
And then something screws up.
Professionals don't do two takes.
Well, the cow sits.
Yeah. So the cow is
Daisy. Sorry.
Yeah, Daisy. She such a original name for a cow.
I know.
Now this. She's actually the only scene she's in this movie or the porn scene.
Yeah.
So she's not even a member of the normal show, it seems like.
I don't even know how the guys
so are okay. So somehow something happens and she ends up actually killing the cockroach.
She sits on it
by mistake. Yeah.
They throw the cockroach to some, I don't know, some
and she doesn't realize she's sitting on it because she thinks it's her hemorrhoids.
That's right.
So
what did he say? Do you remember what the rat said?
I have no
idea. He goes, this has ruined my porn film. I'll just have to turn it into a snuff film.
Oh, yeah, snuff. I forgot to mention that on my list of disturbing things that this film includes. Sorry.
Anyway. So, basically, what this brings to the Wobbit and Lucille subplot is the fact that Trevor the Rat now needs to find a new actress.
How does that work? Because you're right. He does set out to find a new actress. But then he gets obsessed about the Lucille one, right?
Yes.
I think when he shows the movie clip... Oh, that's right, because they get the anteater to come in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But
this is how the anteater...
Is he
relates.
An anteater? We think he's an anteater.
I think so. It's an anteater. It's so disgusting. I can't describe how bad it is. Because it intersects with the rabbit sex scene. I understand why...
So let's explain that scene first.
We need to set that one up now.
Let's set that one up. So Dan is the anteater.
It just jumps into it.
It does.
You see this anteater that you think is like watching it. He's watching it. And then you see this white liquid drip onto the floor.
Dripping out of his face.
I didn't know it was from his face.
His snout or his face or something. I don't know. And this is while he's watching the rabbit have a threesome with two other rabbits. So did I mention threesomes in my list? Well, no, I just did.
Okay, so basically, the rat makes a new clip. God, this sounds like a horrible movie. if you haven't seen it,
10 out of 10. You got to watch it.
He makes I guess some new scenes with this anteater character and the cow, and he shows it to Bletch, the owner, to say. And Bletch is like, "Oh, people really interested in this stuff," and he goes, "We need people are sick of large udders. We need some new talent. Someone who's petite. So that's
actually what happened.
That's why Trevor goes looking for new talent.
He's like, yes, I know.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And that's when he sees Lucille. And it doesn't take long. He actually, right after Wobbit has just, you know.
This was disturbing, this part.
Wait. Can we just pause that? Because there was one bit in the scene where they're talking about Daisy, where what the anteater was doing, because the anteater was pulled in for the sex scenes. The anteater was using its nose, its snout, as a phallus. And they were describing it as
while she was sitting
nasal sex.
Nasal sex. And they called it. What are we going to call this?
Nasal sex. And literally, they were showing anal with the nail. Like, did you say that?
They did. Yeah, they did.
Like, I'm not talking that they were talking about it. They were showing the puppets doing it. Like, it's so disturbing.
But yeah. They called the film.
Well, no. What was your
Dennis
name?
Does Daisy.
Yeah, and he said that's crap.
And that's crap. But by the way, which is a reference to Debbie Does Dallas, which we totally haven't seen.
I haven't
seen it.
Oh. What? Plebs.
I've seen Daisy Does Dennis, though.
But what, each to their own.
Do you remember what he wanted to call it?
No, what was it? No.
Then he said, no, that's too cliche or too unoriginal or something. And he goes, let's call it anal antics.
Yeah, that's right, anal antics.
I do have it, because it was nasal sex and then they called it anal antics. and he goes, it will appeal to the intellectuals. Sorry.
That's right, that's where we get up to the Lucille, where she gets pulled into this plotline.
So anyway, so Wobbit is with Lucille at her dressing room or something, and they're like, okay, see you later. And then
they're engaged by this stage, aren't they? Because they got engaged really
no
they did they got engaged really quick.
What? At the end of the movie they go, will you marry me?
But during the start of something, they spoke something about engagement. I forget. There was a part in it. There was. I'm telling you. I wasn't that drunk.
No, I'm not going to watch it again, but no.
Okay, all right.
Let's watch it again. Two out of one. Two versus one, so you're off.
So Trevor the Rat says, well, he's like...
He sneaks in or something.
Yeah, he like, you know, you can see the conniving look on his face.
Sinister going on here.
Yeah. So
he said, hey.
So he walks in.
It's my best Bill Cosby. Sorry, go on.
So he walks in and 2 seconds later he slips the Bill Cosby special into her drink.
Yeah, because he sets it up like, oh, I want you to be in the movies.
Yeah,
he does. So he hasn't lied so far.
Well, technically he hasn't. That's true. But what he does next, go ahead.
So basically he slips her the drug into a drink. She drinks it straight away. It affects her straight away. And then he says something like, I guess he wants to inspect what he's going to be looking for.
No, he wants, because she says, do I have to audition? And he goes, this is the audition. You know what? If you actually look through the Cosby depositions, it's so similar to this storyline. I'm just saying, I'm being real. It actually is. That's exactly what happened. But anyway. But he starts taking her clothes off. Like, they don't just pan away from her.
Yep,
they're
this is an actual rape scene. It's a rape scene.
No, I don't know.
No, it is.
No, well, what do you mean you don't know? He drugged her and he raped her.
Yeah. He starts taking her clothes off.
Because... He got interrupted.
No, but he still... that still counts as rape. It's still rape.
Is it really?
Dude, I don't know what he constitutes as rape.
I'm not saying it's not illegal. I'm saying...
It's definitely illegal. And it's definitely rape.
Is that actually rape? He didn't do anything.
It is. He did. He caressed. He groped her.
Took off her clothes.
True.
So, Wobbit, for some reason, comes back and then he obviously sees this happen. And he's like, you've been dwinking or something like that.
You've been dwinking
because you can't say ours.
It's hard not to laugh while also going, shit, someone just got raped. But he's an idiot. I can't help but laugh the way he talks.
And that pretty much sets up the whole, okay, he's had his heart broken, thinking she's cheating on him. And
which is insane, by the way. Yeah. She's like incapacitated almost.
But how would Wobbit know? I mean, as far as he's concerned, he just walked in. She's drunk.
Okay.
I'm not going to think too much about it.
That's true, though. She should have been like, hey, I'm being drugged or something, right?
Well, she was really drunk. Anything, she's not going to really be able to do much.
Exactly, she wouldn't know either. Anyway, he misunderstood, didn't realize what was going on. And then he ran off.
And that basically lasts for the entirety of the movie as well, that little subplot.
Yeah, it's true.
And then wraps up at the end.
So that wraps up our little analysis of the Robert. I hated that Robert character, by the way.
The Wobbit.
This is
I thought
a douchebag. Remember the scene where they're coming down and auditioning the what was it, like the Spanish opera?
Yeah, it's doing opera, and the bulldog, who's normally got this really rough accent,
is a full on.
He's singing like Italian opera.
Yeah, like he's got this amazing
voice.
Actually,
he's really good.
And normally talks like a full on douchebag.
And then he talks about the character motivation of the guard that's just walking around.
So, no, because Wobbit's like walking around with the flag, and the director's like, stop, what are you doing? You're supposed to sit in one spot. And he's like, that's not actually what happened in 15th century. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, he basically says, I don't know, my character has no motivation. And obviously the fox character, who we haven't really talked about much at this point, who's I guess the person running the actual theater show, who's very flamboyant, so to speak.
He's the director.
So we'll find out
he's gay.
Yeah, he's very gay.
Really? There's a song later
on
that...
He likes
dicks. I don't know, it alludes to it a little bit.
Balls. Oh yeah, it's pretty clear cut.
There's no ambiguity there. There's no Tom Cruise.
So, so basically, Wobbit's a bit of an annoying character, but I thought the puppet was... It was entertaining when he kept doing his O face.
That's true. He did his O face like three times during the movie.
So,
Wobbit's like a nerd. Wobbit is a nerd that even nerds would beat up. That's how annoying he is.
No, I don't know. He pretty much gets the girl from the get-go. Like,
that's true, and she's the hottest chick there.
Let me rephrase that. She's the hottest bitch there. Am I right? Yeah, let's take.
I need a cricket set.
Okay,
she's a dog.
So, literally,
she's a dog.
So, one of the other big, well, I guess they're the two big subplots, and the thing is, this movie's made up of so many little plots that then wrap up into one massive conclusion.
It's well put together, isn't it?
It was very frenetic, though. Like, there's just, like, crazy scene. There's,
yes.
Like, the building scene.
Yeah. It fits really well to get to the build-up.
Mm. So, we have Harry the Rabbit.
Mm.
Now, Harry, his part in the theatre show seems to be to pop out of a carrot and, I guess, kind of be the little bit of an MC.
Yeah, it's interesting because they keep on talking about him being such a major star of the show.
But he's only got like one part.
I mean, they never really say much more what carrot. He does. Exactly. Yeah. He just like comes out, announces a few things,
and
flies
off. The threesome. Yeah. He's like the celebrity.
So, Harry's the character that we saw having the drug-induced threesome earlier that the anteater saw.
Drug-induced or drug-enhanced?
You got a point.
You know what I've been talking about.
And basically, Harry starts... feeling really ill.
Straight away.
And he goes to see his doctor, or the doctor comes see him. It's not clear if he's gone to see his doctor.
Yeah, no, that's
the
really
doctor,
weird.
I thought the doctor comes to see him.
Yeah.
I think so. But it's
now, the doctor's this really weird duck that's like has his bill right up in his face all the time.
Yeah, that's cool. I like how that scene transitions.
And it's got like a POV shot of Harry, and it's the bill in his face, and the
what's his name?
The doctor's name is Dr. Quack.
Dr. Quack.
Which is awesome. It would be funnier if he was a psychologist or something.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't make sense in the context.
And he pretty much, he just goes, okay, you've got the big one.
The big one. So, my first thought.
It doesn't say what it is.
It was the big one, I thought it was like AIDS.
I thought it was AIDS as well.
Yeah. So we find out later it's not AIDS.
Because they're talking about how many sexual partners have you had and all this stuff. So it's obviously something that's sexually transmitted they're talking
about. Well, I thought it was because of the threesome he had. I thought that's what triggered it.
Yeah,
it's a lesson to be learned.
I kind of thought that as well.
Kids, if you're listening to this, don't have threesomes. Or if you do, have protection.
Don't have threesomes with rabbits.
Or, exactly.
Jesus. There's one lesson I can learn.
If you happen to be...
If you live in the south of America,
if you happen to be an I can never say the word.
Anthropologist? Anthropomorph.
I can't say that
just
word.
Just sample it in.
I'll get you to record all the diphthongs
and I'll put them together.
If you happen to be a human-like rabbit, don't have threesomes with other rabbits.
Okay. Right. Noted. I will... make sure to not do that.
And then we have the interplay between, like, him finding out he's got the big one and you have this tabloid fly.
Oh, the fly.
It's never named.
The fly in the wall.
Like,
no.
No, fly in the sky, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it's...
Oh, eye in the sky.
Eye in the sky is the name of his business.
Yeah, he gives him a business card that says... Eyes in the sky.
Eyes which is really, well, I thought of. Because, I mean, the whole idea of a fly on the wall, you know, listening in on it and everything was really cool.
And this character is extremely funny. There's a lot of funny lines.
Oh, yes. We'll get, I think we should talk about the stuff that he does.
Yeah, the only problem with the fly character is that, and it didn't help the quality of the recording that we watched, is that it was hard to understand his dialogue a bit.
Oh, it was hard to understand a couple of characters.
Because it was very... Like, they had an effect on the fly.
But I always just felt like the score and the vocals were, like, mixed together at such a level that the score was so loud, it was actually hard to hear the characters.
Well, look, I'm pretty sure this was a copy of a VHS tape. Yeah,
and we can talk about that later, the confirmation that it's a copy.
It was definitely off a VHS tape, so...
I think that's the final
comment. You know, not quite Blu-ray quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the fly starts harassing Harry. I don't even know why the fly has such a thing.
Because he's a journalist.
Yeah, but why does he have it for Harry so much?
I don't think...
No, he doesn't. He doesn't because he was trying to get other people, remember? And he was like giving him a card and he was like trying to...
He's trying to get everyone. He's trying to find a good story.
And you heard that he has the big one.
Okay, so this fly. Let's just mention that a lot of his scenes happen...
Let's call him Freddy.
Freddy the Fly. Let's just say a lot of his scenes happen in the toilets.
Yeah.
Now,
no. Let's not just say that's pretty much.
Some on his deathbed on Harry.
Yeah, the major scenes that he's in. Yeah, he's in the toilet.
Explain some of these scenes to
explain
us.
Explain why. I'm sure it's your favorite.
Okay, so one of the major scenes, and this is a scene I remember very clearly from when I watched this a long time ago, is that. I can't remember which character went to see him in the toilets.
It was Harry.
So Harry goes to see the fly in the toilets.
Because he could hear a sound.
So he goes up to the toilet bowl. Now, this is actually an important setup for later on that they use with the fly as well. But basically, the fly sitting in the toilet bowl... And it's full of shit. And this is, like, disgusting looking.
And guess what the fly's doing?
The fly has, like, a big spoon and is scooping, like, ice cream and eating the shit.
Ice cream description is accurate.
Now, the first thing I thought, because I was obviously expecting this, unlike you guys, that's why I'm just happy that
I didn't see
I could share this fond memory with you. Is it reminded me of the ferals, actually.
What? How?
An extreme version.
No. The fact that in one of the episodes...
the fire episode.
No, the one that Mixie smears chocolate on her face.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, that's a bit of a stretch, but
that's the first thing I thought of.
But we know it's not shit. In this, it's clearly what it is.
But hey, I'm making a connection.
It's not
here,
even implied or anything. It's like, that's what I'm eating.
But you know what? If you're a fly, that's good shit.
He's scooping it like, this is like tasty ice cream is basically what it is.
Yeah, so basically, then we see the degradation.
Two girls, one cup.
As he runs away.
And how Harry, scene by scene, is going from being like a few scabs or... Like, we're like, has he actually got some scabs on his face or something like that?
He's got like lesions on his face.
But we didn't really know at the start. We were like questioning it, remember? Yeah. We're like, has he got some lesions on his face?
No, I noticed it straight away.
No. Because the first couple of scenes, it wasn't that clear.
No, but to me, I'm like, straight away, like, he looks sick.
And then it was like, his face was green.
Yeah.
And it was like mold. It was terrible. And he was given 10 to 12 hours to live.
Gotta bag it, kids.
Yeah. So basically, Harry, and for a lot of this, he's actually like lying in a bed.
Mm.
And the fly comes to see him in the bed. And you see the introduction of this scene, you see something underneath the covers. And it's kind of creeping up towards Harry's head. And then it didn't take you long to realize it's a fly because he could hear his voice.
Oh, in this bit, yeah.
And he basically says...
He goes, the thrusher on your groin looks bad. It doesn't taste too good either.
Exactly. Doesn't taste too good. And he had this white... kind of stuff on the fly's mouth. If anybody who has the unfortunate fate of listening to us talk about this, I could just imagine what it actually sounds like this movie's about.
No, you guys should watch it. 10 out of 10. Seriously.
Oh, it's so wrong. The whole thing is so wrong.
The other Harry scene was when he was like trying to fix his scabs in the mirror. He's like, I've got to get it through this show. I've got to get through. He's like patting it down. And then his face, basically, just all the scabs explode onto the mirror.
Basically, all of his, I'm guessing they're like boils and scabs. They're just like this army green pus. Just splats on the mirror. And it's like, I've seen lots of comedy sketches where people pop zits and, you know, it's like really bad. This covered the entire mirror. It was disgusting. And basically, Harry's storyline, he pushes through and he attempts to do the show. And at this point in the movie, because we're talking about the subplots, it's pretty much brought to the point where he's in the carrot and he's going to do the show so that he can just at least get through one final performance.
Yeah. Mm.
So
he wants to go down with a bang, be remembered as someone who performed.
Yes. So at this point, the show had actually gone well, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, yeah. I think, with the finale.
I think you can talk about the conclusion of Harry's story up to the point of, like, the major bit at the end.
Yeah. So basically, Harry, he pops out of the carrot like he's meant to. Well, sorry, the lid pops open and he doesn't come out straight away. You just see
crawls out
these hands, and they've already got like green.
The lady from what's that TV?
I thought it was like you're setting something up and he interrupts and he goes, "What's that thing?"
I think he's doing with his hands.
It reminds me of that movie. Yeah, and then you know that thing. You're saying right now.
The ring. That's it. The ring.
The thing. The ring. You couldn't even think of it.
I'm trying to help the people listening to this, aka Lee, visualize what this is like.
I think he was describing it pretty well.
Okay. So his hands seem to already be covered in this pus, and he crawls out, and his face is just all diseased. It's got green pus all dripping down it. He pops out, and then what does he do, Mike?
Spews up over everything.
He projectile vomits all over the piano. It doesn't go in the crowd, which I thought was a missed opportunity. That's a bit like a standby me thing.
But
I
think
don't worry, would the crowd ran away, though.
They would have, and the crowd gets it later, so it's okay.
Yeah, amazingly enough, this doesn't turn the crowd away. They actually stick around. They chuck on an elephant character, which we'll speak about soon, to do a routine. And basically, I think for the remainder of Harry's story,
Harry goes back to the dressing room.
He goes back to the dressing room, but I think there's a final conclusion to his story that we should talk about at the conclusion.
Okay, cool. Okay. We'll leave it for later.
Yeah, so he's in the dressing room at this point. So, do you see what Wikipedia suggests on this thing?
Okay. All right. I think we've already talked about the porn movie, let's skip over this subplot.
Is there anything that we missed out on? No, I don't think so.
Not in that subplot.
No, it says nasal sex. I think we talked about
And you're right. That. It says the masked masochist.
Yeah, that's his name, yeah.
Give that to you.
Here we go. I can't believe I spelled this guy's name right. Wynyard.
Yeah, Wynyard. Isn't it like Wynyard is in train Sydney. Station?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway.
What a weird name to have as an actor.
Leonard Skinner style.
True. So the drug running.
Yeah. So basically, Bletch, the big owner, he's pretty much involved in, obviously, in Heidi's storyline and this big drug storyline. Now, this one is a bit weird because a lot of it takes place outside of the theatre as well.
Mm. Yep.
And a lot of it's involving this awesome bulldog character. Who's actually, like Heidi is, we didn't mention that, is actually a human person.
Human size, yeah.
Actual human puppets, yeah.
And he's
that's a big point that we didn't really mention. Yeah.
So he's
just on that note, sorry, very quickly, the technical artistry was really good. We haven't mentioned that yet this entire time.
Yeah,
it's well filmed.
I think there's some
specific It's really well put together. Yeah. There's some excellent scenes, including merging like actual puppets with people wearing suits.
I just can't get over the bulldog's crotch.
Yes, that's also a good crotch. Is that he's got this swagger about him, and he's got this big bulging crotch that at certain points, I mean,
totally necessary.
It's like front and center in the shot. You can't avoid
and
this.
Slightly
thing.
To the left.
Now, the odd part about that is that if that was in any other movie, that would be like a big talking point.
All right.
In this movie,
it's subtle.
That is like a hundred thing they would want to say.
It's one of the, so many things in this that
it's one of the subtlest things that the movie does, but it's still funny. So basically, for the drug running, Bletch is doing a drug deal on a golf course.
Yeah, yeah. But see, as even, one does. Even, like, leading up to that, what I loved with the bulldog. What's the bulldog's name? I can't even remember.
I don't know.
I don't think he's got a name.
Really? He's a pretty major character. He actually has lines and stuff.
Barry the Bulldog.
Barry the Bulldog.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I don't think they ever said Barry. But when they're all, like, hitting the golf ball, Barry comes up. No, wait, is it? No, it's not Barry. Sorry.
No,
it's
a warthog. There's a Scottish warthog who's the...
a drug dealer.
He's the drug supplier. Yeah, you're right. Good point.
Yeah. So the Scottish warthog is the contact for someone named Mr. Big, who we don't see right until the end of the this subplot. But basically, Monkey Boy, how does this Scottish warthog play golf?
So he lines up maybe 12 feet behind the ball. And I think at this point, we're all like, oh,
I've seen this before.
You've got to remember, this was like 89.
Yeah.
And a movie that we're going to allude to was more like 93, I reckon.
I think it was at least mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s.
Oh, really?
Okay. Let me have a look.
You're probably right. It's probably 95. But anyway, so he's lining up 12 feet away from the ball and then comes like skipping in and whacks the ball.
So pretty hard to jog in a suit.
And gets a hole in one.
It bounces off
all these
things. Happy Gilmore style.
It is exactly like the final scene of Happy Gilmore where he hits it and bounces off all the different things and then gets a hole in one. Happy Gilmore came out in 96, so this is 7 years before.
No, I would not say they copied them because it's kind of like a cliche story idea.
If we just took this scene out of the movie and had at the bottom, Meet the People's 1989, and then the follow-up scene
at the same time running in parallel,
that would get like 50,000 views on YouTube.
Let's really? 50,000?
Oh yeah,
over-under? You want over-under?
I think you're overestimating. I reckon,
what do you reckon, Mike?
I reckon I could get close to that.
Alright, let's try it.
We can't get people to listen to our podcast and we think you're going to watch this comparison.
Hey, we have one listener, come on.
So yeah, basically they're doing the drug deal on the golf course.
I love you, Lee.
So they actually take the money and the drugs out of the actual caddies. The bulldog.
Yeah, that's right. Like, they go to the golf course because it's a nice secret thing, and then they've just got the drugs open.
Well, it's pretty conspicuous, if you're going to do a drug deal.
Clubs or something.
Okay.
You know, just like, oh, I take one bag, you take the other.
Because you got to taste the goods.
Oh, that's true.
Man, you've never done a drug deal. Come
so,
on.
I don't do drugs.
Barry the Bulldog, his way of tasting it is really awesome. He actually pulls out a knife, sticks it into the bag, and then actually tastes it. And I remember
the last time you did that.
I think that was probably the first time I ever actually had seen a scene of someone tasting drugs. That's such a common trope in movies where it's they're doing a drug deal. I'm going to taste the drugs, even though they're not drugs that you generally ingest. But they're obviously they know how to taste them.
It is right. I mean, people do taste.
Now, think about it. I was 10 years old when I watched this. Imagine.
So yeah, things are falling into place now.
That's one of the smallest things. Just imagine everything that's coming up and what we see.
It gets way worse than that.
So basically the drug deal, it takes a bit of a back burner at this point. But later on, I guess they're looking to wrap up the deal. So there's this little dog character.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right? It doesn't really make sense, right? Because they exchanged the drugs. Or was that just a sample?
I think it was a sample.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, so they had do you reckon they had all the cash or just a part of the cash?
It was probably just
part of the
sample. Approving things to say that we're good for it if you're good for it. Now, on the golf course, there was actually a small dog character that was actually helping out the...
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he was like almost the caddy, but that's important because the dog character is the one that comes to the theatre to actually finish the drug deal. So what they do is they're not confident that they're going to be... They think they're going to be swerved again.
They want to be diligent, right?
Yeah. So he's like, well, let's test it again. So they put a line of... I'm guessing it's cocaine... If they're going to be doing a...
I thought it was like heroin, just because they kept on talking about horse and age. Maybe. They did say coke at one point, though, okay. So it's a bit confusing.
But basically, they put out what looks like a line of code.
Yeah.
Then they get our good old anteater friend, the one that took part in the anal antics.
The same snout that you...
And they get him to snort up the line to test
it. And it was a big line.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do drugs, but huge I know line. That was a crazy big line.
And
that's like an OD.
You know a lot about drugs for someone who doesn't actually do drugs.
No, I don't do it, but I know it. Anyway, go on.
Almost instantly, Dennis is his name, the anteater. He starts convulsing. liquid starts spurting out of his snout. And his face pretty much melts. And his snout comes off. His snout like melts off.
Yeah. It's horrible.
So they, for some stupid reason, the walrus actually just does a quick taste test. Like, we don't know what's in it. And he's trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I want to taste
it. I better taste it to confirm it's actually not real drugs.
Yeah. And what was it? It was borax.
But he said it straight away. Oh, this is borax. It's like, what, he's eating borax?
He knows the taste of borax.
Bleed that shit all the time.
So
which is a cleaner, by the way. It's a cleaning product.
Yes. So, and he basically said, the dog character, who's obviously shitting himself at the moment because he knows that they've figured out that it's that they're trying to screw him over, Bletch, the walrus, he goes, oh, I think you need a bit of, your pipes need to be cleaned out or something to the dog. So what they do is they grab the dog, force his mouth open, and just pour all the borax into him. And if his snout melted, the dog's entire body melts.
It just
melts into this green mess. And it's so disgusting.
Now, what did it kind of look like? Because when I saw it, I thought it was like The Wizard of Oz, like where the witch melts.
I thought it was like Who Framed Roger Rabbit when the bad guy melts at the end. Right. So I think they're both.
It was insane. It was insane.
Oh, it was disgusting. So
now, can I talk about? I still don't understand why that happened. Because they said that the drugs didn't come or something. Why would they put borax in it? Why would they put, like, flour or something that's not lethal? Like, this is something that people are going to inject in them.
I don't think they particularly give a shit, they're drug dealers.
Look, they don't want to kill their clients. They're not idiots.
Maybe borax is something that's known to have the same, I guess, density. It maybe melts in the same way. If it was heroin, it was coke.
Why would you do that? Why would you just not say we don't have it yet?
Well, when you dick around with people like that...
I don't know.
Whether you give someone flour or borax, I don't think it makes a difference. Clearly, you don't want them as a client again, so...
I guess so. Yeah. So, they hatch a plan.
Yes. So, basically, Barry the Bulldog... Bletch, for some reason, goes with them. I don't know why you do that.
He's like the kingpin.
Yeah, he's the kingpin, exactly. So, Bletch, Barry the Bulldog... was there anyone else that went?
Yeah, the rat.
The rat.
Yeah. So Trevor
was driving. And it looks cool. They look really cool. Where they're like, it's like Reservoir Dogs. They're walking into the car.
Because they swap between.
Actually, Reservoir Dogs 92, right?
Yes.
About that.
Yeah. So this was before that as well. Because it had that slow.
So many films copied this.
It wasn't slow, but it was like the walk.
But it was awesome because they interjected scenes with an actual real car with the puppets in it. With like tiny little models of the same car.
Yeah,
it
was really well filmed. They used a lot of miniatures, as Monkey Boy was saying when we were watching in the film, is that Peter Jackson does love his miniatures. He used obviously heaps of miniatures in the Lord of the Rings movies. He used heaps in King Kong. And I'm assuming he probably used miniatures in Braindead and whatnot.
So I wasn't making that point.
He loves miniatures.
I'll take it.
No, you said he likes miniatures.
He likes his mini miners.
Ah.
That kind of car he actually uses all the time.
Does he actually have it in real life? Oh, okay.
Like, even, I think they even have it.
Well, I should have assumed you didn't really know his miniatures in Lord of the Rings, considering you've done
stuff. I'm starting to think all of Peter Jackson's film is like this elaborate little scheme. He loves minis. He loves hobbits. Hobbit sounds like wobbit? You see?
I'm out of here.
It's a conspiracy. I'm telling you.
I need the cricket sound. So basically, Mr. Bletch, Barry the Bulldog, and Trevor, they all go to take on Mr. Big, right?
Yes.
Like, their whole plan
And you don't know who Mr. Big is.
They were trying to take on Mr. Big. They just wanted to get the drugs.
They just wanted to take the drugs. Yes.
I want to get the drugs.
Yeah.
So they all get in their little... It's like, what I liked about it, it was like a mini limousine.
Yeah.
I've never seen any car like that.
I don't think it exists. I think it's made up. But it'll look cool,
And also, by the way, the car, when you see the walrus, it's like one seat wide.
Well, he's huge.
Yeah, but it still looks weird, though.
Yeah. Really, that's the weird thing in this entire film.
Yeah. No, I really, like, threw me for a sec. So, oh yeah, that's right. So they're driving in, and you've got, like, the crab characters, and you've got all these, like, bad guys, and the warthog guys.
Because this is at the docks. Yeah, that's why there's crabs and shit.
And they're driving, and they just drive straight through the crab, kill one of them. Drive into another, crash into it. Then they're like stabbing them to death.
Yeah. It's okay. So Barry,
so violent.
Barry the bulldog. He's a boss here. He gets out.
Yeah.
He basically, he rips off the claws of the crabs.
Oh yeah. I think bites them off. I think.
Yeah. He bites off the claw. He goes insane. He stabs the warthog through the chest.
That's and, right. Yeah. Just stabs him.
Just like spins around right through the chest.
Full on Mad Max warrior.
And they pretty much they get the drugs and then they're all good. Now, does Barry make it? He gets
So Barry doesn't. So there's a giant spider.
That's right. Okay, okay, there's right.
A giant spider they open the car and they're like, yes. This is sweet. And then this huge spider comes down.
Which, by the way, like so far everything kind of made sense. That was just a bit weird. Like, why is there a giant spider?
This is like getting real out there.
Mm.
So, you know, Peter Jackson loves King Kong. Like, loves King Kong, right? And there was like an infamous scene in King Kong where they never got into that original film. Mm. And I think they destroyed the film for it, which is like the spider scene.
Huh.
Where there's like a person who gets attacked by a spider that they like animated with miniatures.
Like a giant spider.
And Peter Jackson actually went to the effort of recreating the scene. So you can see that on YouTube or like, you know, or buy the actual box set and watch it properly. But I actually really wonder if that's kind of like an homage to his love for King Kong.
Possibly.
So they get the drugs.
We're going to have to get King Kong, so yeah.
We don't really see them load the drugs up. They just get them and they go.
It's like a suitcase again, I think.
Oh, okay.
No, but the thing I liked about Barry is he gets his head bitten off by the spider. Yes. And it rolls down onto the freaking car.
So I was about to say.
It's like shoot all over.
So they start driving. Barry gets attacked by the spider. Gets his head bitten off in a very, very violent manner.
But it's so nonchalant as well. It's like the head just rolls off.
The head rolls over the car
because he rips the rest of his body off.
Then Trevor the rat. He drives. There's this, I guess, hanging crane thing. And because the spider's on top of the car. So they drive under it, and then the spider gets the head bashed in, and then they're safe from the spider. So at this point, you think, okay, they're probably going to cut away. No, there's some gigantic whale that pops up in the water and pretty much announces themselves as Mr. Big.
Mr. Big, we know who Mr. Big is, whale.
So what do? You're faced with, your car is facing this whale that's in the water, the bridge is destroyed. What is your natural reaction, Mike?
We create another bridge through the whale.
Exactly. So they just decide to drive into the whale. The whale doesn't do anything. He just leaves his mouth open. Like,
what are you going to do once it drives up your mouth?
Close it?
What are you still screwing?
Move away.
You're still screwing.
You're a whale. Go into the water.
Because what happens?
Oh, okay. Let's rationalize this film.
He's driving in there. And I've forgotten the rat's name again.
Trevor.
It just doesn't make any sense. I want to say Radish.
Yeah. Trevor kinda looks like Radish.
He's like, should I take a left or a right? I just love that. Left. He's just going straight. And then I think he actually said left.
Yeah, he did. He said left.
Which makes no sense.
And where do they end up?
They basically make themselves a exit using
the whale's exit.
Using the back end of the whale. Oh. And it's so... I don't really understand it. Does that mean that the whale had its back, like, on the actual side of it? It must have, I mean, so contrived.
Yeah,
but it looked awesome.
But basically, they drove through a whale and came out its ass and ripped it open.
Pretty much.
That's exactly what happened.
And that's the end of Mr. Big. So that's...
Yep, Mr. Big's gone.
And that's the end of the drug running storyline. So you can see...
Yeah, that's right. They just get back and they've got the sauce and that's it.
Like, oh, shit, I forgot drugs. How could I forget drugs on my list?
No, I didn't. It's not even like a negative or anything. They just basically, they get back and then we start to get into some of the other storylines. I don't know what's next.
We need to talk about the elephant and the chicken.
Yes, okay. Let's talk about the
Now, we won't talk about the final conclusion of this because it will tie into the climax, which I think we'll talk about after
one
this.
One big thing, yeah.
Yep.
So basically, we've got this really doofus elephant that has a very strong New Zealand accent.
Yeah, he's wearing
the All Blacks shirt, yeah, with the fern.
Well,
Peter Jackson's Kiwi. So.
He's got some actually interesting scenes in this, and my favourite scene, other than the final climax, which is just so over the top, is a scene where he walks into his room. He walks into his room, and there's all these fur balls just... I don't know, eating paper, pissing everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like vomiting everywhere.
You don't even know what they are. Body.
I don't know what it is, but they're ejecting something.
We
streams.
Couldn't find out what they are. They're just like these little colourful fur balls.
And you know what the thing is? Like, everything else has, like, it's kind of like a worm. It might be a bit exaggerated, but these things were just, like,
it's
fanciful,
weird,
crazy creatures.
And other than the yoga character, which we haven't really mentioned
yet. Talk about him as well, because he does some crazy shit.
He's, like, a humanoid character. All the rest of them are, as we said, defined
animals. Yeah,
But these fur balls are just, they're almost like something out of Fraggle Rock or something.
Yeah, definitely.
So, basically, he gets annoyed at them. He's like, no, why are you in my room? That's pretty much how he talks. Yeah. Imagine a New Zealand version of that. And then pretty much, I guess, like, he kicks him out of his room.
Yeah, they're in the hallway.
Somehow, I don't even know why, they cut to... You guys might explain this to me.
It's a barrel.
Cut to a barrel that's, like, rolling.
It was just put in... They had to find a way to...
So this barrel is just big, massive barrel.
Yeah,
actually,
it breaks. I forget, because something breaks and it falls off.
Yeah,
and they kept on rolling. Anyway, it goes and rolls and squishes all the little fur balls.
Like,
destroys them. Flattens them.
Okay. You say destroy, I say obliterate.
No, turns them into little patties.
Little patties of roadkill.
Okay.
And then Trevor comes along.
We need to set this up a little bit. It rolls them over in the most disgusting manner.
Yep.
The rat character Trevis walks up, picks one up, starts eating it, and this thing looks like a big
roadkill.
Giant placenta or something. It's so disgusting. Yeah, and as Monkey Boy says, like, it's like a nice meat patty.
Yeah, he just goes, that's a nice beef. Or no, he said something like meat patty, I think. Oh, yeah.
It was so disgusting. So anyway, so that character, the elephant character.
What's the elephant character's name? I can't even remember.
Let me have a look, because I don't know. Yeah,
and people think that we're like, forgetting people's names. This
they
is like
really mention
the
a lot of them.
There's like a million names. They mention half of them.
And some they don't mention at all until the credits.
Yeah, exactly.
The elephant's name is Sid.
No, I guarantee
it wasn't mentioned.
They never said
I'm pretty
Sid
sure it wasn't mentioned.
Because I would have remembered that. It's a weird name for an elephant.
Yes. Okay, so Sid the elephant, he's complaining, I think, to Alfred about the fact that
chicken character comes in.
He basically says this character.
You did spoil it. By the way, can I just say before you set that up that he's wearing, like, because he's a bit of a bogan, he's wearing, like, looks like Bond's top and bottom, but they actually have gone to the effort of discoloring it. Like, the way that, like, sweat marks of someone wearing it, like, 100 times, and it's all kind of that yellowy or white look about it. I thought that was pretty good.
So, he basically says to Arthur that, Sandy's been hounding me about this baby, paternity.
It's not my baby.
It's not mine. And he basically said, like, something along the lines that she's pretty much
she's been with
screwed
in
everybody in the chorus.
Yeah.
And Alfred's like, not me.
It was Alfred.
Arthur. God, same thing.
Alfred.
So
this is Batman.
Then Sandy comes into the room and we find out she's a chicken. She's pushing
an elephant and a chicken.
Yes. So just
like,
imagine
how the hell would that happen?
Imagine that visual, an elephant.
It's like Shaquille O'Neal and his girlfriend.
And his wife,
So, now, we know what we're probably going to get with this, but we look at the pram.
I know, this is the thing, I agree, because you know what the joke is going to be, but they delivered.
Oh.
They did deliver. Because I thought at first, it's like, nah, it's not real. It's not actually his baby.
So, they pan around the pram, and we see it's got a chicken body.
Because it goes upwards, it's like slowly the camera pans across.
But
you
see
the legs,
little legs that were like blue, which is the same color as Sid. But then it's a chicken body.
It looks like a chicken, though. Is it like okay?
A chicken body, and an elephant head.
Yeah, with a trunk.
It is, but it looks fantastic.
It's awesome. Oh, yeah. It's like a 10 out of 10. Like
it's definitely his baby.
If Peter Jackson was like, okay, guys, you got to make it look like this, and he sees it, he's like, okay, we're done here.
That's it.
This is a laugh. Guaranteed to be laugh in this movie.
So that basically sets up later on in the episode, as we mentioned, with Harry's storyline, he vomits everywhere and they need a way to fill the show.
Yeah.
So Sid, the elephant, who we didn't know his name until now, thank you, Wikipedia, he is sent out to fill the spot just to take time until they figure out what's going on. And he's, I guess, wobbling around. The crowd's laughing because it's unintentional slapstick and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Sandy comes out pushing the pram for some reason.
No.
Why would you come out onto stage in front of somebody?
Well, she said, I want everyone in the nation to know this.
Yeah.
She did say that.
Because everyone in the nation is in front of that. He refuses
to agree that that's his kid.
Yeah, I know. And I think that pretty much leaves it there until later, right?
Yeah, basically the baby crawls out. Then it leads up to the scene. The climax.
So, I mean, Wikipedia doesn't capture any other, because it's like the climax. So there's a few other things.
Other bits, like the Vietnam War.
Well, I actually think that's like one of the best bits. So,
it's so really well
the frog, there's a junkie. Winyard, of course, Winyard. Winnie the Frog, who's a junkie. And he's like early on, very early on. He's like, oh, you got some gear, you got some smack, man.
What's his role, by the way? Because I thought that was perfect. Oh, yeah.
He's a knife thrower.
He's a knife thrower. So he kills someone.
Yeah, that's right. He's like so hopped up in like getting withdrawals that his hand's shaking. He's like throwing the knife.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's got a few in a row. He's missed and then he's done the right thing. And then he stabbed, threw it right into the stomach of his assistant. But he's like hanging out for drugs and he needs it. And then is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Wobbert.
Yes.
Wobbert comes in and he's like, oh, you know, like have a chat.
So Sebastian, the director, says, oh, we need a new person.
Oh, yeah,
and he was pissed off at Wobbert for screwing up before, as we mentioned. Kept interrupting the rehearsal, trying to find motivation for his character, just being a little bitch. And he says, Wobbert will be a new assistant or something like that. And so Wobbert goes to see Winyard, and Winyard at this point is trying to get drugs off Trevor.
Yeah.
So there's all these.
He didn't have enough cash.
He's got 50 bucks. Massive withdrawals.
He had 50 bucks missing.
Yeah. So.
Pretty expensive drugs, by the way.
Well, this is coke we're dealing with. It's not cheap.
But it's New Zealand currency. It's probably worthless. Sorry.
No, anymore,
don't say that. That's incorrect statement. It is worthless.
So, anyway.
Hey, they're like one-on-one with Australian currency now, so.
I think people just have to reference this is the Concords to see the Australian-New Zealand love.
But this is 1989. They probably weren't even a technically developed country then.
Yes.
They're still just getting off the boat.
All right, enough of New Zealand bashing. So, basically, Winyard is wanting. Thanks for that, Mike. Just try to improve the situation. So Winyard's obviously up to drugs, but then Wobbert goes to see him in his like a little
cubby.
Yeah, it's like a really dark reddish kind of area.
The junkie hole.
Yeah. So Wobbert's like, oh man, you know, I don't think I should be doing this act, which is really sensible actually.
Yeah, because it's dangerous because the guy's a junkie.
Yeah. And basically, he starts to tell Wobbert of the story.
There was a reason, though. He's saying, he goes, talking about, I know the depths of hell.
That's right.
And he's like, you've been in Nam?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I was.
So then we cut to a very stereotypical but awesome.
But I think this is the most awesome part of the whole movie, to be honest. This is crazy.
Stereotypical but awesome parody of Vietnam War films.
Yeah.
So there's basically the scene where they're running in the battlefield and when you get shot and then his I guess superior saves him, pulls him out. So that sets up the fact that his superior is actually a nice guy. Mm. Then there's a scene where they're like stealthily walking through the jungle.
Really well filmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they get caught.
Oh God.
And this is probably one of the worst parts of this movie if you were to release it now.
Yeah, I reckon this is the only part. It sounds insane what I'm about to say. This is the only part that I actually kind of would say it's offensive.
Yeah.
Like,
That's because it's racial undertones, whereas the rest is just violence slash rape slash... I think there's way worse parts than this, though.
No, I think this is the most offensive part of the whole movie.
Because it offends the whole group of people as opposed to just... Because it's not punching up, punching
down, right? Yeah. It's like playing into the old stereotypes.
So basically they get...
You don't need to do that.
But back in, you know, the very late 80s, I'm pretty sure this was...
same decade that they released Soul Man, which I only found out about recently.
So basically they get caught by, I guess, the Viet Cong. And they
what do they look like? Describe
Charlie.
They are the most stereotypical Asian stereotypes. They look like Mickey Rooney's Breakfast in Tiffany
so bad.
Japanese portrayal.
Right, the most racist puppets ever.
It is. And they've got the big buck teeth. They've got glasses. But what's funny is they caught them and then they hear them talking. Like, you get subtitles and they're talking about really in-depth political... Like,
really rationalizing them. Very eloquent.
It's the whole joke. They're talking about, like, the Burjoys or, you know, like, all these different... I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, like, they're debating, you know, all the different political structures locally, globally, nationally. Yeah. You know, the approaches, you know, reform is the enemy of revolution. And it's, like, very deep and, you know... sort of political conversation. Wynyard, the frog, he is in jail with his commander. And then they actually, this is about the scene where they're having to play Russian roulette.
Yeah, and it's a homage to Christopher Walken scene in the movie that I can't quite remember
I don't remember this.
Platoon or?
It wasn't
Apocalypse Now.
I haven't seen Platoon.
No, it's not Apocalypse Now.
It's not Apocalypse Now. It must be Platoon.
I'm pretty sure it's Platoon with Charlie Sheen and Walken, but I'll check that. But basically, it's the famous scene with the red headband where they're playing Russian roulette, and it's a bit interesting because, you know, they do, click, click, then they fill all the chambers up with bullets.
Oh, then, I didn't see that. Yeah. Okay.
Then I don't know what exactly happens, but...
The gun misses. The bullet ricochets and kills all of them.
Yeah, but I wasn't like certain what made it miss, that's all.
Yeah, I think he just didn't point it
to his head. I don't think it was a real reason,
I think it was just that he didn't point it to his head properly.
Yeah, that's all it was.
So he shot it and it bounced all the way around, killed every single...
Besides them,
Viet Cong instead of them. And then they're just like, oh, we're going to make a break for it. So he starts running away. I love this bit. It's so bad.
So just a correction, it's actually the Deer Hunter.
Oh, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, so sorry about that. Platoon, I'm sure
I think I've got that on Blu-ray and I haven't watched it.
So it's Walken in the Deer Hunter that has that famous scene.
And this is where they're running away. Yeah, I know, I've got to remember that. So they're running away and then the commander, who saved his life earlier in the scene, he went out into the enemy fire, dragged him back, saved his life. So the commander falls down into a little ditch and he's calling out to Wynyard, here, help me, pick me up. And he's like, Wynyard's like looking back and forth and thinking, oh, I've got to save my commander. And then he's like, nah, get out of there. Just runs away.
But he probably made the right choice.
But that's
he
couldn't survive because the darkest part of the film. A few seconds
later.
That's the darkest part of the film for
Well,
me. I was like, that's effed up.
That's pretty effed up. And then a few seconds later, his commander gets killed because you can hear the gunfire.
Yeah, you can hear the gunfire.
So he did make the right decision for his own skin, pretty much. I mean, you can obviously it's playing to the whole fact that, you know, you get back from the war, back from Nam, and you get addicted to drugs and heroin and whatnot. So basically, that's the whole big flashback. It was quite long, but it's really well made.
It's really long, though.
Yeah, but it's really well directed as well. And it's good to see... We saw some outside shots outside the theatre in this movie, but some of them were at night and it was a bit hard to see. This was lit up.
It was really good.
So basically, Wobbett becomes the new assistant, as we mentioned. So they go out and for the show at the end, we forgot to say that Wynyard actually gets his fix.
Yeah, so what happens is that Wynyard is saying, because he's a Viet vet... He's like, oh, you got to donate to the cause and, you know, they're running out of money. So he puts in, I don't know, 10 bucks, pretty generous guy. And then when he turns around, he's like, oh, no. It's a minimum donation of 50 bucks, which is a lot of money back then. And he's like, Robert's like, oh, okay, puts 50 bucks in. So then when he had the 50 bucks that he needed to score. And then we have the scene in the toilet.
Oh, now, most other movies would... allude to this. Yeah, they would say,
few in the history of shows.
Yeah, like you got Pulp Fiction's famous for its injection seasons, blah blah blah. But this is a movie about puppets, right?
Which is probably why they got away with it.
I don't know. Usually they frown upon this more because they were like, it could appeal to children more.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, this whole movie appealed to children. Sheesh.
Well, isn't that the guy?
Because the puppet thing, you know, they've done that before. They've said this before.
Well, isn't that comment on YouTube where the guy's like, I'm going to go watch this with my kids.
Yeah, pretty much.
So basically, you actually see him put the strap around his arm, grab the syringe, jam it into his puppet arm, and actually inject it. And then he, like, conks out, so he's obviously had his fix or whatnot. But what's interesting is that it doesn't help him. He's when he goes to do the show with Robert, he's still jittery. Yeah. But what's really funny in this scene is, obviously, Wobbit's not tied up on a spinning board like the other assistant, but he's standing in front. So Winnie goes to throw the knife, and it misses. And I think after the first throw...
Yeah, he starts to have visions.
He starts to have these horrific Nam visions.
Well, basically, Wobbit transforms into a Viet Cong operative.
Yeah, in his mind, yeah.
In his mind. So then he starts throwing knives at him.
Yeah, he starts actually trying to hit Wobbit. And so Wobbit starts running, so it's just hitting him afterwards. And then Wynyard's completely lost it, and he actually accidentally throws a knife up in the air. Now, this thing goes up and takes its time and spins around. It's so well-paced and so well executed. Man. You know what's going to happen.
Yep.
But the way it happens is still so violent. So basically, the knife comes back down and just slices right
Smashes through his head onto the ground.
Blood flies everywhere.
And pins it into his ground, and then it starts spurting blood out.
And then the curtains come down on the show.
Everyone's clapping.
And then you can see his body being dragged.
While everyone is clapping.
From beneath.
The crowd is clapping, yeah, as Mike said. Now, either this is one sadistic crowd, or they think it's all barbaric. Yeah.
This wasn't fake.
So I think that's like the major... Because he was a major character. He's not mentioned on Wikipedia, but I would argue
he's
more than the elephant.
He appears in more.
Yeah, there's more background to the character. Yeah. Probably know more about that character than any of the other characters.
Yeah.
He had that huge flashback scene. Now, there's a couple of other bit characters, like yoga guy.
I think this is a good time to throw in a few little things. Because, like, the yoga guy, it's really only one thing, right?
Yeah.
So he's Gandhi, basically.
And that, again, it's pretty
made
racist.
To look like Gandhi.
The way it looks.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't call it racist because it's a particular person that it's portraying, not a race.
Okay.
So basically, the yoga guy, it shows him levitating and his bed of nails and whatnot. And it all leads up to him rehearsing his show with Alfred acting as like a snake. Alfred, same thing. It's interchangeable.
Batman.
And basically, The yoga guy screws up, falls off, and gets his head stuck up his own ass.
Literally up his own ass.
And did you hear what the Fox director said? He goes, oh, that should be a part of his act. We can call it the passage to India.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that either.
That's so messed up.
So, and when we say it was stuck up, you couldn't see anything.
It's messed up it's messed up by today's standards, but really, like, God, we've become way too politically correct.
I don't know.
Way, way, way too much.
So basically, that's a character that is, you know, is set up just for a little bit of a, you know, thing to happen in the climax. Were there any other bit characters that you guys...
Well, there's a few little lines that I liked. So, yeah, the warthog character, there's the bit where he's talking about his war stories. This is the bit where they're, like, driving in to take the drugs and he goes... I slit his throat and then buggered the bastard. I just find that so bizarre. That's not even something.
Well, I didn't mention necrophilia. That's disgusting. It's necrophilia.
So basically, the overarching storyline that we said before about Heidi and the love triangle is pretty much what leads us up to the big climax. So at this point, Heidi is actually refused to do the show. So, in order to get her to do the show, Bletch actually decides to just go and...
Give her one.
Yeah, give her one.
Poppy's cookies.
And it's so bad because she's crying and so upset. He just walks in and says, do you want to have sex? And then she's happy again.
Yeah, he's like, you know, what did he say? He said something like, no, I love you. Do you remember what he actually said? Because at one bit he goes, undo my buttons. And she's
I thought he did say, I still love you. Yeah. He definitely says that.
Something like
so basically, at this part, now, if we weren't already disturbed. Oh, no, this.
He slept with her. She was happy. She went out and performed the number. Man.
Yes.
And it was really good.
Yes.
Well, relative. And then she came back.
Oh, God.
And she walks the cat. She walks in and, like, the cat...
was under the desk.
Wait, am I getting confused?
No, that's what happened. So no, she walks in on him. No, I don't think so. No, she does. She walks in on him.
No, I don't think so. I think we're getting this confused.
So basically, after the show, she thinks that everything's good with her and Bletch.
Yeah.
She thinks they're going to get back together because he slept with her. So what she does is she decides to try to seduce him because she's really
that's
happy
right.
again.
That's what happened. Yes.
So basically, that's what happened. At this point, I'm thinking, oh, no. And I think I remember I was 10 years old when I saw this.
This is so messed up to watch as a 10-year-old.
The worst thing you can watch as a 10-year-old.
I reckon.
We talked earlier about the fact you were alluding to her giant assets and the fact that it was all leading up to the fact that we're going to get to see these bloody things.
And yeah, Mike wanted to see them.
Oh, yeah.
So the hippo character strips off and just lets them loose. And it's so wrong.
It's so comical. It's awesome. Oh,
it is so wrong. I just imagine being the costume designer that actually worked on the specific nipples.
It'd be super funny.
It's like the guy who had to work on the... doing the computer graphics for the Dr. Manhattan's penis and Watchmen. It's
the same way, kind of job. This way.
Exactly. Now, Bletch pretty much goes, nah, you're ugly, I don't want you, I was going to fire you after this show anyway, blah, blah, blah. And just absolutely...
humiliates her.
Yeah,
he's been with her for years, you suppose. Yeah.
So basically, she's so upset, she runs out, still not dressed.
It's really disgusting. Yeah, it's disturbing.
She runs out and pretty much decides that she wants to end her life.
Yeah.
And it's really, really full on.
It's so dark.
She puts a noose up.
And it looks like a noose of stockings or something.
Yeah. Custom.
Yeah. And all the way through, Mike was like, this is not going to hold. She's too big. And I thought the roof was going to cave in.
It kind of did.
Well, the floor below.
Okay.
And then the roof caved in.
So
after she bounced up and down. It must have been pantyhose because she bounced up and down.
So she steps off, falls through the entire floor. It just caves in. It's really like, well.
Instantly.
It's really well.
It was really well directed.
And then obviously the thing pulls down the roof as well. So what do you do when you can't hang yourself? You decide to go stick a semi-automatic machine gun.
This is an LMG.
It was a chain.
This is a full-on heavy fire.
A machine gun.
Yes.
This is one that you can barely take around if you're holding it. It's like so many.
Rambo style. It was Rambo style.
So she sticks it into her mouth and it's so comical and it looks so wrong but so funny. And she's about to pull the trigger and then Samantha walks in, the cat character. Yeah. The one that, you know, obviously she hates.
And the one that's going to have the syndicated show about her.
Her replacement.
Yeah,
She walks in, she goes, oh, don't mind me. And she just grabs something, you know.
Casually.
She's casual about the fact that she's got a light machine gun in her mouth. And obviously then walks back and then you can tell what's going to happen here, but it's so well done.
But the line was really good. She's like, oh, and, you know, don't forget there's a safety pin that you'd have to remove there because I wouldn't want to stop you. And then, like, made her turn. Made Heidi was like, stop this.
She gets angry. Turns the weapon around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of what... and Wikipedia
the beginning of
perfectly
the end.
Perfect. Of the climax. Absolutely demolishes her with Samantha with the light machine gun. Yep. Just
the way they did the puppet work was so well made. Like just bits flying, holes. It was really well made.
Well, I actually thought that would be the end of it. I was like, oh, she's blown.
That's
her,
it. I suspect this right away. She's going to go into Rampage. I think I even said it.
So basically, at this point, the show is pretty much other than obviously those hilarious things that happen. The show has pretty much been
from the deaths.
Yeah. But the crowd's still there. Nothing has, you know, the show still happened. So they're concluding the show. I'm assuming it's concluding. Ooh. And this is where basically Heidi just runs around backstage, just shooting everybody.
And at this point, you kind of actually feel sorry for Heidi. before she starts shooting and gunning up everyone.
Before that, I felt sorry for her.
And then when she starts gunning up everyone, you're crazy. I don't like anyone.
So she's shooting. Like, she's got like a sheep best friend that was helping her out.
That's right. The makeup lady.
Yeah, just rips her apart. Makeup
rip, you know,
just shoots her up for no reason.
What runs around.
The worm survives because she kind of just walks over him by mistake.
I think she tried to shoot him.
She tried and she missed the something, took off his hat, I think. Yeah. And then she just walked over him and he survived.
Now, Monkey Boy, what happens with the to conclude the elephants?
That's the worst scene.
That's the best
for whatever reason in the entire film.
Sid the elephant and Sandy the chicken. How does that story conclude in light of this whole climax?
Because at this point, she's killed most of the people in the show. And then, because they were on the stage. So he gets up on the stage, and then she turns and sees this little, pretty cute elephant chicken baby.
Oh.
And she's like, she turns away, and then she turns back again. And you're like, oh no, she's not going to shoot the baby. And then she clean shoots the head of the mother. Shoots the head off.
Straight off.
Boom.
Of Sandy.
So the body keeps running around like a headless chicken.
Yeah, headless chicken joke.
While there's blood spurting on the face of the baby.
And at this point, Sid's like, you know what? This is my baby. I'm going to save my baby. He starts running towards, and she shoots his kneecaps out. And he proceeds to fall down. The severed head of the chicken actually mouthed the words bastard.
And then he steps on it.
And then he, I think he accidentally,
I think it was a mistake, but he steps on it.
Squishes the head.
The head of
his. And then he's trying to like power and save his baby. I think he did save the baby.
I think he
did. No, he does.
We don't see any more of it.
But in the post credits, he goes and they talk about it.
So I think so that's wrapping up the elephant story. He gets kneecapped. But he survives. Actually, of course, because we find out in the aftermath. So she's dead, the elephant survives, and the baby survives. So you can finish off the Harry, the rabbit.
Okay, story. I was going to pass that to Mike.
Okay, Mike.
What happens with Harry?
Because it turns out he gets a phone call. Yes. He gets a phone call from the doc, and the doc says, turns out you don't have the big one.
And we find out the big one is myxomatosis, which is... So he doesn't have the big one, but I thought the big one was AIDS. The big one was myxomatosis.
Yeah.
Which is just as lethal.
But it turns out, what does he have? Like a common cold or something? Or just like something that...
No, he has bunny pox.
Bunny pox, which, you know, is supposed to wear off. So he's super happy.
Take two paracetamols and stay in bed for a week.
And you'll be fine. So he's like, he's really happy, joyful. He runs out the door, and just when he runs out the door, bam! Gets ripped to shreds.
Gets gunned down.
Completely gunned down by
Heidi. Subplot over.
And the team gone.
Now, there's also a little bit part yoga character. He finally gets his head, pulls his head out of his ass.
Oh, God, it's disgusting, because his head's, face is full of shit. Which, by the way, is good continuity, right?
Like, continuity expert on this
one. Okay, so his head is full of shit, but then what happens is the bed of nails actually falls on him and squashes him.
I didn't notice that. Yeah. Okay.
It does, yes.
Oh, so...
So that wraps up his story.
He died.
What happened to the Wynyard guy?
Wynyard's already dead. He got his knife.
He got it. And the fly. We forgot the fly, because the fly dies earlier on.
The fly has one of the best lines. Well, one of the other characters have one of the best lines, because they got the fly, and you've got... This is back when Mr. Bletch is alive. And he's ripping off his wings.
He sees, because the reason why he does that is because he sees this article. And in the article, it talks about Harry the rabbit, because the fly, did a whole story about it. He's got the big one.
They didn't like this. So he ripped the fly, he ripped off the right wing, and then someone came in and said, oh yeah, left wing journalist. That's awesome. Awesome one.
It's a really good
one. Then he just rips the other wing off and throws it in the toilet.
And then rips the other one. And then just throw him in the toilet and flush him.
Yeah.
And that's him dead.
That's a fly story.
That's the end of the fly. What are the other characters?
Well, basically, with Wobbit and Lucy, they kind of wrap up right at the end. So basically, Heidi's obviously gone nuts, shot up everybody, comes out on stage, just obliterates all the... I think she shoots some people in the crowd. I think she obviously takes out all the little chickens that are on
She does. She takes out like heaps of people in the crowd. Yeah, kills all the little chickens.
She absolutely obliterates Trevor the rat.
Well, before that happens though, before she obliterates Trevor the rat, Robert realizes what happened and the fact that Trevor was the one that drugged his girlfriend. slash fiance now, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
So he swings and like he hits him and then like yeah,
distracts him.
Distracts him because Trevor has a gun at the stage trying to kill. Oh yeah, because she was sorry because of all of this, we completely screwed this up. So she Heidi goes and shoots down Bletch.
Yeah,
he falls off this like stage thing, whatever that.
And she's about to shoot him and kill him. And
no, but he goes, "Oh, I still love you." So she drops the gun. And then Trevor goes, shoots a bullet. And then what happens next? Trevor comes in and then blah, blah, blah. And he ends up getting ripped to shreds by the machine gun.
Yeah. So Wombat comes in and distracts him, really.
Correct. Because he's got a shotgun. Mm. Trevor has a shotgun.
Oh, he did have a shotgun.
Yeah. Because he was trying to shoot Heidi.
Yeah.
But Heidi realizes that, turns around, blows him to shreds. Then she turns around and she puts the gun up Bletch's mouth. And blows his brains up.
Literally.
Literally. So that ends that whole stream and that subplot.
Now, the only characters that are left alive at this point, you've got Heidi, you've got Wobbit, Lucy, yep. And you've got Arthur.
Yes.
And you've also got Sebastian.
I'm saying in this scene that are here around here, because I don't think Sebastian's there anymore.
No.
So basically, Arthur's like, look, Heidi, I'm going to have to dob you in. And she's like, let me do one thing. Can you play Garden of Love? And then we get her singing the movie out.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie.
After a massacre.
And then you see the aftermath of the characters that she's in jail for 10 years.
Now, probably the best thing that we didn't mention.
How about we mention some of the stuff that we've skipped? So,
is Sebastian's musical number.
Which was playing, by the way, this was playing while Heidi was on her rabbit.
Yes.
Which was brilliant. So the way it fits together was so good.
Sebastian realizes, okay, this show's going to hell. I'm going to do my music number that Bletch had denied him from doing earlier.
Yeah.
So he comes out. I had no idea what to expect. He starts singing a song about sodomy.
But it was hard to understand what was going on at first, because I'm thinking, what are those balloons? What are those two objects? And it's not the kind of comical way that these things are shaped. And then I'm like, oh, hang on, they're ball. That's a ball sack. Like, hang on,
that's a ball sack.
Yeah, it's a ball sack. And oh, that's not a balloon. That's a condom that's blown up. Oh,
and those pillars aren't pillars. They're penises.
And then you hear this. Remember, the this lyrics, guy's gay, so. And you're like, oh my god! He's like, let me tell you about sodomy. Just the whole thing's awesome. I don't know what the lyrics of the song are, but
it's
pretty funny.
It'd be a good one, so.
It's let me like. I'm guessing the title. It's like let me tell you about sodomy. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Actually, the music in this movie is fantastic. You can tell they obviously got some really good people to put these songs together. Even the actual opening number for the Feebles.
So. Yeah, it's really catchy. So the one thing that I want to mention, it's very minimal, that we didn't mention, is Frog Jesus. Do you remember? There's a scene where I think it's Harry, is praying to, like, a crucifix that it looks like a frog instead of Jesus. It's so...
It is a frog. It's called Jesus.
That's another thing to add to your list. It's sacrilegious.
And sacrilegious as well. Jesus, yes.
I just love that a rabbit has a frog Jesus. It's not even the frog.
Frog Jesus. I'm telling you, it's frog Jesus. It's
a rabbit Jesus or something.
Yeah, it's weird. Was there anything that we missed?
There was a scene with the elephant. Because the elephant said he had to go out on stage, we didn't mention that he was really needed to go to the toilet.
Yeah, that's the setup for that scene. Yeah.
That's what the guy's laughing
about.
So right after the scene on stage, but basically a little bit after, it shows Sid running into the toilets. And what you had in the toilets, you had these two dogs. One of the dogs is talking about some conditioner doing wonders for his hair. And then Sid the elephant walks up and just unloads piss everywhere and it starts dripping
all over the dogs. Dripping, he's like aiming at
like full on just spraying on his
and face. This was like neon yellow piss. It was so disgusting.
Can I just say, like, how many times, because we haven't even mentioned it, are there bodily fluids exchanged, ejected on,
and this like sprayed on
every type, stuff that I've never even seen before, like coming out of like the anteater's nose? Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up from the things I was thinking.
The only thing to mention was the fact that after all her rampage, I don't know if there's a kill count somewhere on YouTube.
Somebody, I don't think it would be that
people
high,
she killed. Oh, it would have been like 20 or 30.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't consider that plenty high in movies.
Point is, she only got 10 years jail.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and now she's working at a major supermarket.
Yeah. Like,
that's just strange. I guess we could go up to the rating point. Are you happy to do the ratings?
Well, I'm happy to do a rating, but
it has to be in the frame of... It has to be in the frame of, okay, it's a crazy movie, like Brain Dead or something like that, or Dumb and Dumber, or... You know, where it's not like... We're not talking about Citizen Kane here. It's... We know that it's farcical. We know it's silly.
I watched Citizen Kane. So... I don't know. Like, I think maybe it's an era thing. I didn't think it was as good as...
Let's leave that for another bonus episode. So, what would you
give it? Citizen Kane for bonus episode.
What would you give it out of 10?
Oh, it's a 10 out of 10.
Really 10 out of 10?
Brilliant film. Thank you, Peter Jackson.
Off the top of my head.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I have to, like, you know, really think about it again.
That's because I'll be too busy, you know, thinking about it.
I'll probably give it maybe a 7.
7?
Okay. 7 out of 10. How about you?
Can give it a 5.
What? 5?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I've seen a few of the other Peter Jackson early films, and I think this is like the worst out of the early ones that I've seen. So.
Worse as in?
No, they're all like crazy. Like we could watch Brain Dead, and it's like I was like crying of laughter in that movie.
Wow, okay.
And it's just as silly. It's just as stupid.
Right, right. Like,
okay. So wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a challenge.
Uh-oh. Okay. Okay.
I'm going to tell you guys about some facts about animals, and these animals are all in this movie.
Okay, but real animals we're talking about?
Yeah. Just,
okay, yep.
And you guys have to tell me if they're true or false. Now, I believe there's 12 questions.
Oh, this is awesome.
Okay.
He comes up with the best stuff. I love this.
Fun games for us.
Yep.
That's why I get paid the good money.
You're like 10 times as much as we do.
Yeah, 10 times zero is still zero.
Accurate statement.
Okay, so... Basically, I'm going to get you guys to say true or false, and then I'll tell you who got the point, and then we'll tally it up at the end.
Yep, just to make sure.
Not cheating.
Okay.
Because he's the kind of guy that would cheat.
So first we have a fact about hedgehogs. Actually,
sorry, you wouldn't because you're right.
Do we both answer true or false at the same time?
Yeah, at the same time.
Should we just rotate? Like, he says it first, then I say my answer?
Whatever.
We'll do it like that because that's fair.
Okay. I guess it is, yes.
All right, so,
I'll go first. Okay.
So first we have a fact about a hedgehog.
Okay.
So Wobbit.
Yep.
Okay. Female hedgehogs have two vaginas. True or false?
True.
True.
False.
No damage for me.
Koalas have two vaginas.
Oh, wow.
Keith. Oh, no.
Zero points.
Wait, so they literally have two vaginas, like... Two completely separate openings that go to two completely different...
We should call Peter Jackson and say that rabbit scene should have been koalas.
Yeah.
And it should have been a chick in the threesome. That makes perfect sense. Anyway.
I don't have that answer for you, Mike. You're going to have to look that up.
So you're telling me?
Okay, so we've both screwed up.
Zero,
yes.
I'm just putting a mark
here.
So
I'll go first, yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, fact about hippos. So, Heidi.
Okay.
Hippos attract mates by urinating and defecating. True or false?
True.
I said it's true, yes.
True, you both get a point.
Cool. Right.
Now, cats. So we've got Samantha.
Yep.
A cat has 32 muscles in each ear.
Oh, okay.
In the vagina.
Still don't think about the vagina.
True. This is the first time I've ever disagreed.
False. It's true.
Yes!
Oh, wow. 32, geez. See, I was on the fence. I'm like, oh, yeah, they probably have a lot.
You should have said 31. The answer is 32.
Okay.
Oh, duh, I should have known that.
Symmetrical.
Okay, we've got a fact about Fox. So, Sebastian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who goes first, you or me?
It's your turn now.
Okay.
And just answer true or false. Don't, because I know what you're probably going to go off about this one. The Fox breed on the Firefox logo is... named Red Fox, the breed.
Fly Fox?
The fox breed on the Firefox logo, the browser.
Oh.
The breed name is Red Fox. True or false?
True.
False.
It's false because it's not a fox. It's a red panda.
Woo! It's a panda.
It's a red panda.
God.
Why don't they call it Firefox and use a panda logo?
You're mixing Monkey Boy and Mike. But no, it's right now. You gave him 2 points when I should have 2 points. You numbnut.
That's why. I noticed my mistake and I was correcting
it. Oh, really? You're just trying to slide that in.
So why did they use... I don't get that part. Why did they use a panda?
Because they're nerds.
For a company that's called Firefox, which is made by Godzilla. I don't understand.
Let me Google that for you.
Let me Google my...
I don't know.
Let me Google my care factor. Results came back zero.
Okay. Okay, fact about duck. So we've got Dr. Quack.
Okay, you're first.
Yep.
A duck's quack doesn't echo.
Bullshit. It's false.
I say it's false.
Yes, you're both wrong.
It's just, I hate those kind of... You just said you were both wrong, didn't you?
That's the point.
No, and a duck... Wait, we've said it's false. It doesn't echo. I'm pretty sure
and
it
doesn't
echo.
And you said false. But then you said you're right. You said you're wrong. You're both wrong. You said false. You're both wrong.
You're right. Okay.
Quack.
No, apparently it's actually really, really difficult to hear. Like it's...
But it still does, yeah?
Yes. I think every sound echoes.
That's why I said it.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's true what he's saying. It's designed in a way that doesn't echo well. I think it's so that its predators can't pick it up.
Okay. Interesting. Fact about a cow. So we got Daisy.
Who's first? Cow. Your first?
It's your turn.
Oh, okay.
A herd of 60 cows is capable of producing a ton of milk in less than a day.
Well, false, because you don't measure milk in tons, right? You measure it
You can weigh it, though.
Yeah, but you don't weigh liquids.
It's true what you're saying, but you can. You can, though.
Alright,
well, anyway, go there. Okay, so 60 cows.
60 cows.
A herd of 60 cows is capable of producing a ton of milk in less than a day.
So it's not a trick question, because cows... No, it's not like bulls and stuff like that, where they can't actually produce 60
cows. Say they do 15, like, 10 litres a day.
It's 1,000. Because I know that a kilo is like a litre.
Yeah, I say it's true.
So 60, 1,000...
Because 1 litre is a kilo.
Yeah, I say it's
basically.
True.
So I say it's true as well.
It's true. You're both on 4 points.
Worked it out. Cool. Yeah, so what's the score up today? Well, what's the, what question are we at?
Yeah.
I don't know the number of questions we're at, but you're on 4-all. I guess that means 8, no.
No, because you weren't 9 questions. That's you're cool. only marking the correct answers.
We're equally dumb.
This guy, man.
Well, if you guys didn't...
This guy ain't going to be hosting Family Feud anytime soon.
If you guys didn't take so long to give me answers, would have finished
well,
it by
we're
now.
Trying to rationalize it. I'm trying to rationalize it.
Yeah, Eddie McGuire tries to get on with the show. That's how he does it.
Okay.
He doesn't go, well, after the break...
Okay. I think you guys...
I'll give you the answer after the break.
I think you guys have had too much to drink, but Monkey Boy hasn't drunk anything.
Yeah,
I'm high on life.
I'm actually fine.
Okay.
You want to walk in a straight line?
Okay, fact about frogs. So, Winnie.
I believe it's my turn.
Okay, that's not
true. A frog's sweat is pink.
I reckon frogs don't sweat, so that's false.
I'll say false.
No, you guys are good. It's actually hippo sweats, I think.
If you said the hippo,
so do frogs actually sweat?
I already had a hippo question.
Yes, I probably do.
It was about urination and defecation. So
I knew that was true because I went to the zoo and they told us.
Well, give us both a point.
Doesn't make much of a difference anyway.
Yeah, but
cockroach.
I just want to make sure it's going based. It continues the technique.
Yeah, because he's going to say 5 votes. Go.
Cockroach question.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay.
So cockroach can live up for up to 1 week without its head. True or false?
It's an interesting one.
False.
No, I reckon it's true.
Okay, here we go. Is it a cider?
It's true.
Yeah. I know. Shit. It's an interesting one, yeah.
1 week. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. I know it doesn't, but it's weird.
You're
it's
in
true,
front now.
Really.
Okay, 3 more questions left.
Oh, this is massive now because I'm 1 point behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
3 questions
and you
left.
Go first.
Dog question. Dogs have sweat glands in between their paws. True or false?
False.
No, I think it's false. I think it's their tongue, isn't it?
It's true, so no points.
Really? Oh, wow. I thought dogs can't sweat at all. But
no, I thought it was through their nose and their mouth, right?
Well, no, that's why they pant. That's why they go...
Anyway, moving on. So this is big now. This is big.
Okay.
I need to get the next 2 right.
Yes, and you have and I to get, screw it up. Well, yeah. I got to screw it up. Yeah.
No, see, this is bullshit because he can by default.
Well, it could be a draw. It could be a draw.
I
wouldn't copy your answer. I could rationalize it.
Okay. All right.
I feel like we need to answer it separately on a piece of paper or something.
No, let's just get it done. 2 more questions. So
he's a perfectly legitimate.
He's
point.
A Nazi quizmaster.
Fact about flies: a fly's wings beat 60 to 80 times per second.
60 to 80 times per second.
Is that the timing?
True.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, it's not
a fly's time. Wings. Okay. 60 to 80 times per second.
See, I know he's going to say true, and I need to get ahead.
Sorry,
but I feel like it is false. True.
What if it's true?
So I'm going to say
I may happen to know this. I may be a flyertologist.
Flyertologist.
So I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say true.
I feel like it's true.
It's false.
Yes!
Oh!
My count is out of it. And you have to go first now.
Yes, that's true.
I haven't got a tiebreaker, so you better choose different questions.
Okay,
let's different go. Answers, sorry.
I'll pick
what a great quiz master he is.
All right.
My question is, what's my name? Mike, okay, I'm done.
Okay. By the way, flies wings 200 times per second.
Yeah, that's what I thought, well, though. I thought it would be like one of those.
It'll be like a lazy fly. A
hummingbird is 6 to 8.
Who cares? As if we know it anyway.
Like hummingbirds, like, who gives a shit about that?
All right, go on.
Not a
tell
question.
Where I got the...
Anyway. All right, you go. And oh, you're making these questions up.
No.
Well, he's making the answers up as well.
Defend it. Anyway, go on.
Okay, so a fact about worms.
Oh, God.
Arthur's.
Arthur's the ending.
The largest earthworm ever discovered was 6.7 meters long.
Earthworm Jim wasn't that long. 6.7 meters
6.7 meters long.
Earthworm Jim wasn't that big.
Okay. So the largest earthworm ever discovered was 6.7 meters long.
You have to go first.
Oh, this is a tricky one. Shit. 6 meters. See, 6 meters is like...
It's like your height.
It's longer than this.
No matter what you say, he's going to say the same answer, I know it.
I'm going to say false.
It's annoying, because I actually think it's false. I think it's, like, way longer than that. I think it's, like, 50 meters.
No, I just thought it's way shorter than that. 50 meters for an earthworm? Yeah, I think it's, like... Man, I've, like, I've dealt with a lot of earthworms.
50 meters?
Yeah. And the longest earthworm I ever caught was, like, fucking...
Earthworm? What?
Earthworm.
12 inches or something.
Oh, I don't know.
So I say false.
I don't think it is.
So you're going to say false or true?
It's either going
to
be
true. Please say true so I don't have to figure out another option.
I don't want to lose if I think it's false. I think it's false.
It's true.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I should have said true.
It's a draw.
All right, let's flip a coin. Let's flip a coin.
What? Flip a coin is to
who
wins?
There has to be a winner.
No, it's a draw.
Hey, they've done this in soccer, man.
Okay, I'm going to...
This isn't soccer.
Okay.
I'm going to flip...
has nothing to do with...
All right.
I'm going to flip a Twix pod.
Okay, I want the up bit. I want the up bit.
This doesn't make any sense.
I want the up bit. I want the chocolate
it's
on top.
It's loaded. The weight distribution is
incorrect. That's why I want the chocolate on the top.
Yes, it's loaded with Twix goodness.
You want the chocolate on the top,
do you have a coin?
Right?
Do you have a coin then?
No, we're flipping this.
Yeah, you got your wallet over there.
We're flipping this. It's funny.
Yeah.
Which side would you
want? You got to flick it properly. You got to flip like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you
into
get...
my mouth.
Well, he wants the chocolate on top, I guess I'll put the chocolate at the bottom.
Whoever can get the Twix wins. That's what it should
be. What kind of quiz ends with we're going
to
flip a coin as to who wins?
That's what it should be. Let's see who can eat the Twix.
Okay.
Why don't we just flip a coin from the start?
No, Jeez. This is better. Okay.
Let's flip it and whoever eats it, we'll put our heads close to each other.
Hey, didn't we do that with Golden
Gate? Okay.
It's true. Alright. Yes! It landed in his crotch! Chocolate up! I win!
Can this even, hang on, I'm gonna test this. Can it even land chocolate
down? No, that's why I said chocolate up.
It can't land chocolate down.
The superior intellect won.
I didn't have a choice though, because you said it first and I couldn't pick
that's,
anything.
That first and best race, bro.
Yeah.
All right.
So that concludes
Monkey Boy wins.
Yeah.
Wait, the first challenge.
Monkey Boy wins the quiz by a pod flip.
Yeah. By understanding pod physics.
This podcast is brought to you by Pods.
Well, I think that like wraps it up.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't watch this movie if you don't want to be scarred for life.
Yeah, it's a fantastic
Everyone
movie.
Should get scarred for life. It's a fantastic movie. 10 out of 10. Thank you, Peter Jackson.
All right, that's signing off for us. Goodbye for now. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.